You're with SBS Radio.
Good evening, Catherine.
Good evening.
Nice talking to you.
You too.
Can we first start about the Pro Bono Project that's run by the Australian Catholic University for the unrepresented asylum seekers? Tell us about that briefly first.
Sure. So the Thomas More Law School at Australian Catholic University has a serious commitment to providing pro bono assistance. So that's legal help for free. And one of the major areas that we focus on is asylum seekers. So together with some members of the New South Wales Bar Council, particularly Barrister Victor Klein, we work to assist unrepresented asylum seekers in the Federal Circuit Court. So that means that we provide people with free legal assistance and advice in preparation for future hearings in the Federal Circuit Court.
Okay. In which stage your assistance or your legal help starts in this judicial process?
It's usually at the time of the asylum seeker's first appearance in the Federal Circuit Court, so the callover stage. And with the cooperation of the courts and interpreters, we have law students, final year law students, available to talk to asylum seekers and then to provide them with follow-up assistance, reviewing their papers and, in some cases, engaging the assistance of barristers who will take the matter further through the court system.
So, do you intend to help asylum seekers preparing the initial judicial review application?
Not usually, because the first encounter we have with asylum seekers is often at the court itself when they've put in their initial application and they've been asked to appear before the court and we take the matter on at that stage. However, we do also have a website and they can contact us even before they get to that stage if they want to. So the website is refugeelawproject.com.
So you said you won't be providing assistance, you won't be providing assistance in negotiating the timetable to get their case ready for hearing. That's what happens in the first court date hearing, okay? So you won't provide assistance in that. You will contact them only after the first court date. Don't you think your assistance is crucial, like in negotiating the timetable, which is actually getting ready their case for hearing? Don't you think it's your assistance is crucial in that stage?
Well, once we meet the asylum seeker at court and have a look at the papers that the asylum seeker has and review the documents, we can determine then the way forward for the asylum seeker and, if necessary, provide an amended application to the court, and from that point on, we can adjust the sequence of events. If it's necessary, we can definitely do that.
These asylum seekers are really very vulnerable people. So from the asylum seeker point of view, how can we trust you actually?
We're very aware of the difficult circumstances that bring people to seek the protection of the courts in Australia. And we're aware of the trauma that a lot of people have experienced. So what we hope to do is provide assistance that's very respectful of the experience that people have had. One of the first things we do is, in the language of the asylum seeker, we provide some information that lets them know that everything they say to the student in the first place and then to the barrister who's helping them for free ultimately is completely confidential, that it will never go further than the people who are providing them with legal assistance. So we've been very careful about how we manage our interactions with asylum seekers and how we pay attention to their fears and concerns in the way we deal with them and managing the court process that we're helping them with.
Okay. Let's talk about the scenario that in the Federal Circuit Court, after the first court date, you contact a silent speaker and you actually got their details and everything. You exchange the details. And then what happens next? What's going to happen?
What would have happened immediately following the initial contact with the asylum seeker is that we would have carefully reviewed all of their documents and worked out whether, in the view of a leading barrister in the field who's providing advice for free, there are prospects for successfully challenging the initial decision or not. And depending on the view about that, we can decide whether to take the case further with the assistance of a barrister or not.
Okay, what will happen after you have taken over the case? What will happen next?
There'll be a lot of exchanges between the asylum seeker and, in the initial case, the law student. So the law student will ask for all of the documents that the asylum seeker has given to the court, records of interview, all of the materials that are necessary to look at the case and see whether there are prospects of success going forward.
Okay, let's say you're going to assist the case with a barrister. So the barrister is going to actually look after the case. Then he will be appearing in the, I assume he will be coming and appearing for the case, arguing for the case. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. So if we get to that stage that there are reasonable prospects of success and the barrister would therefore offer to represent them in court, then they would have to sign a costs disclosure. So a barrister ethically always has to sign a cost disclosure with the client, even if the barrister is acting pro bono for free and not charging any fees.
In that stage, do you put your name under that case that barrister is going to be the legal representative for the applicant?
The barrister would, yes, that's right. So at that point, the involvement of our students here at the Thomas More Law School would just be providing any legal research, any administrative assistance that the barrister needs. So our students have, by this stage, quite often formed a relationship with the asylum seeker and they're very interested in seeing how the case progresses. So it's usually the case that the student will stay involved, helping the barrister move forward preparing the case.
Do the asylum seeker have to pay you for this service?
No. So it's pro bono means for free. So the asylum seeker doesn't pay for the service.
And you said you got permission from the Federal Circuit Court Chief Justice as well to run this project. It's a legal thing, is it?
Yeah. So the registrars have been very helpful in terms of identifying our students to asylum seekers in the court. So we're very grateful for the support of the Federal Circuit Court registrars in that regard and the interpreters who assist, of course, as well.
Okay. So other than attending the first court date or other than waiting until my first court date, is there any other way the asylum seekers can contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. So contact can be made through the website, which is called the refugeelawproject.com. And the barrister who's leading the project is Mr. Victor Klein. His personal email address is actually on the website. So initial contact can be made through the website and by email to Mr. Klein as well.
Thank you very much, Catherine, for sharing this information with us. It would be very helpful for the asylum seeker, especially the Tamil asylum seeker. Thank you very much for your time. Much appreciable. Thank you.
That's a pleasure. Thanks very much.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.